per port. The four principal divisions of society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, have been defined. And now there is a description of the Antyaja, the mixed classes. Among the mixed classes, there are two divisions, Pratilomaja and Anulomaja. If a woman of high caste marries a man of lower caste, their union is called Pratilo. And obviously, then Pratilo Maja means born of that. So, if a woman of a higher caste marries a man of a lower caste, their union is called Pratilo. If a woman of a low caste, however, marries a man of a higher caste, their union is called Anulo, and therefore Anulomaja. The members of such dynasties have their traditional duties as barbers, washermen, and so on. Among the Antyajas, those who are still somewhat pure, in that they do not steal and are not addicted to meat-eating, drinking, illicit sex, and gambling, are called Antivashayi. Among people of the lower classes, intermarriage and the drinking of wine are allowed. For these people do not recognize such conduct as sinful among themselves. Vriti Shankara Jati Nam Tat Tat Kula Krita Bhavet Achoranam Apapanam Antyajantesh Vashayinam. Translation: among the mixed classes known as Sankara, those who are not thieves are known as Antavishayi or Chandalas, dog eaters, and they have their hereditary customs. So, first, in the short class today, I would like to try to make the argument that these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the detail and principles of Varnashram are being discussed, is a reconciliation of a social and religious ordering of society into a devotional ideology. And I'd like to try to express that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers had a theological view on all of this matter, so as that it would not detract from the inner path of love, of devotion, but at the same time, the negligence of it, as in the Varnashram or societal organization, the abandonment of which would not incur a debauched society. I don't know if that last point was clear. If I just make that point again. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers had a theological view on the whole subject of Varnashram, whereby they were insistent that it wouldn't undermine the inner path of love, by all of the duties associated with it, and whereby the abandonment of the path of Varnashram for the inner path of love would not undermine the fabric of society and conclude in a debauched society that has no principles, practices, or standards of behavior. that's kind of what I would hope to venture forward with regards to in this class. However, first, the verse itself and the context of the verse itself. The whole seventh canto is the answer to a question. And the question is God partial or impartial? And why does it look like he is? Because he's always helping Indra out, and he's always helping Indra out against the Asuras. So the whole canto is like an answer to that question. It follows the sixth canto, which is just an answer to another question, which really is, as with regard to the fifth canto, because we hear such an elaboration of hellish planets, a tremendous elaboration of hellish planets, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a view about, that it may be a very extended version of the hellish planets, which to give is in the interest of kings, because they want everyone to behave themselves in society. So it's a very kind of threatening and daunting presentation. It would certainly put us off engaging in things which would be harmful to us and others. In response to that whole presentation, the question was, now what's the hope for people? I mean, how will people avoid this whole scenario? So, Shukadev Goswami speaks extensively about the beauty and the glory and the purity of the holy name of God, pure bhakti. So these sixth cantos are the answer to a question, seventh canto is the answer to a question. It's not following the general trend of the delineation of the ancestral lines coming from Lord Brahma or the sun god, the moon god, as it is in the ninth canto onward. But having spoken on the whole subject of Prahlad Nrisingha, that the main point that's made is simply that God is beyond all things. So, you know, if your consciousness is in him, then whatever's happening on a material platform otherwise doesn't matter. Therefore, Shishupal was so absorbed in Lord Krishna that he attained moksha, even though he was attacking him. Because Krishna is above and beyond, he is nirguna, he's above and beyond all these things, love, hate, and all that in the material sense. So Shishupal got moksha just by being absorbed in Krishna. Same with Kamsa. Same with Putana. So he's above all these things. That's the point that's made. And so the whole Prahlad Nrisingha story, the questions raised about that, and it all takes place. But then following that now, this whole topic comes up, where I think it's Yudhisthira speaking to Narad Rishi. And he's saying, well, what about the, you know, humans and good behavior and all these things of the state? And Narad Muni responds to him, explaining in quite some detail, nothing like you find in the Dharma Shastras and literatures like that, which just endlessly focus on the details of these matters. But a kind of overview of the subject of society is given, the proper kind of conduct for people. So, in this, the perfect society, the four varnas are spoken of. Varna means the occupation of people, and it's largely the occupation of people in the society. So verses were spoken about the brahmanas, verses were spoken about the kshatriyas, verses were spoken about the vaishyas and the sudras. And then after the sudras, then verses were spoken about the women. Yeah. I'm just saying how the flow is here. After speaking of all those in caste, it speaks of the women after the sudras. And it's interesting that there's more verses about the woman than there is about the Brahmins, the Vaishyas, and all the others in terms of their qualities and all the rest of it. I'm not making any negative point by that. I'm just making an observation. Because in this old culture, which has largely been undermined by Gaudiya Vaishnav principles, the women were, what would you say? There, through marriage, they became the wife of a Brahmin. They became the wife of. Everybody else had characteristics and responsibilities in accordance to Varnashram. But the women, they, being spoken of after the sudras, their qualification came through marriage and service of their husbands. So that's called Stri Dharma. You have Brahman, Vaishya, all these other dharmas, but the Stri Dharma was their eligibility for all these things came through marriage. That was the nature of the society. It's very different from today's society. And also, although it may seem in that culture the women were on the tail end of everything, in the Vaishnav culture, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav culture in specific, in some cases they're appreciated far more than the men because of their natural temperament toward love and devotion. So, it may be considered that it's more natural for women, devotional life. And therefore, they may even sit on the top of our social hierarchy, as did Janava Mata, Ganga Mata Goswamini, and others. And all the Vaishnavas, male, female, everybody, respected them and their leadership. It's a bit of a, what would you say, turning the system on its head a little bit, but reordering it based upon not the external cultural trappings of the old system, but rather seeing the substance within a person and seeing their love for Krishna. And as we all, that's the pursuit and the aspiration of our lives, then we all bow to whomever embodies such a principle, isn't it? Sudha Bhakata Charanarenu Bhajananu Kula Bhakata Seva Paramasadi Premilatikara Mula. It doesn't say anything about men or women. It just speaks about the devotion within a person. And where we see it, where we see Sudha Bhakata Charanarenu, the feet of such a devotee, the dust of their feet, bhajana anukul. It's very good for us. It's very good for our spiritual life. To serve them as paramasiddhi is the highest object of service is the Vaishnava. Not all of these other things for Vaishnava, these are all social responsibilities we have. If they serve the Brahmins, society is not organized like that nowadays, but then, to serve the Brahmins, have to do so many things. But in the Vaishnava, the principles of bhakti, bhakata seva paramasiddhi, the highest object of service is just the devotee of Krishna. It's even considered to be a higher object of service than Krishna himself. That's spoken of repeatedly. Aham bhakta paradina hyasvatantra iva adrija. Krishna says to Durvasa, I have no power outside of my devotee's instruction. Sadubhya grasta hridayam. They hold me very dearly in their hearts, and I am, and they're all within my hearts. So, by the devotee is the object of service, regardless of what body they are inhabiting. Regardless. to discriminate as such is pretty cool. It's against the principles of devotion. Now, in this verse specifically, after the woman, Brahmins, Vaisyas, Kshatriyas, Sudras, women, then those who have been spoken of here in ancient language as the Antyaja, the last Antya. You know, Antya Lila means the last, isn't it? The final section, the Antyaja, the last born. After all these great births. Now, of course, we'll say that the whole system is not a hereditary system. But there are so many, that's another thing, isn't it? Hereditary, non-hereditary. It's not the topic today, but it would appear that even from these texts, the words janma is used, etc. That it is assumed that those being born of a specific family will inherit hereditarily the same traits and will be of that division of society. However, there are exceptions. And therefore, the whole system should not be determined on birth. This whole system should be determined based upon the qualities of the person. So the Antyaja is those who are born last. It doesn't mean they're born after everyone. It means that they're born after all the good births. Antyaja, and also it states this Antivasayinam. Antivas, again, Vasas, we all pray for Brijavasa. These unfortunate people, they were Antivasa. They were on the periphery of society. These people didn't live in society. They lived on the margins of society. They were beneath everybody else. Let's face it. And unfortunately, millions of them got stuck there. Even till today. Most unfortunately, if you read their poetry, you'll cry your heart out listening to their poetry. It's very, very sad. So these people who were last born and who lived in the periphery of society, they were accepted as civil, civilized. They were acceptable as long as they weren't chores. Now, achoranam, somebody who's a chore. A chore is somebody who is undermining our agreed, what would you say, means of attaining things in life. They're undermining the system and they want the things which are beyond their budget, which are beyond their acquirement by perhaps the way they live. Like in London, we had these massive riots. And all the kids went out and helped themselves to flat-screen TVs. They just helped themselves big time to everything and thought, why should the celebrities and the bankers have all this stuff? The system is only serving the celebrities, the sports people, the bankers, and the pop stars. We're all broke and we can't get jobs. Let's go out and help ourselves. So they did. And it's also some forms of going out and helping yourself were recognized in ancient culture. Isn't it? Because like Arjun's called Dhananjaya, which means he went out, conquered a kingdom and took their wealth. And they became richer and they governed those people. So there are forms of thievery which which Kshatriyas would perform. I'm not trying to raise every possible controversy I can in this class, but it's just food for thought. It's food for thought. So the choranam, I mean, you know when you go to India and you leave your shoes at the temple? Isn't it? Even here. Two occasions, my shoes were stolen. Somebody brought me a brand new pair of the shoes, free-toe shoes from South Africa. I wore them to the temple and someone stole them the day I wore them. First day. Choranam. In India, I'll tell you a real choranam. The person who was representing the council in a case against the weddings marquee of Bhaktivedanta Manor came for a visit to the temple. He was acting against the manor on behalf of the council. And he left his shoes in the reception. And after taking him around everywhere, I took him back to get his shoes. And choranam. These shoes were gone. I said, what? And I ran outside in my socks and I went everywhere. And I thought, when I see the person, I'll club them. I was thinking in my mind, the choranam makes you irrational. I will give them one slap. And I ran and I went to Radharani's bakery and I was looking, what's wrong? I was just, no, nothing, looking at everyone's feet. Everywhere I went, my socks were black. I never even thought to put my own shoes on. Couldn't find them. And I thought, this person can't leave this temple with no shoes. And if he takes somebody else, then somebody else will have no shoes. And then one day my shoes will be gone again. It's the evam parampara praptam. So I went to Dwarka Prabhu and I said, do you have any shoes in the theatre that might be suitable to a lawyer? Dwarka's got a massive filing system of everything. I think I have the shoe. And he brought out a pair of brogues. Yes! I took the brogues, went to the treasury and just said to Rukmini, give me 40 quid. Please. It's really, really important. And gave him the shoes and 40 pounds and I said, please. Most embarrassing. I thought, he's going to leave the temple with more guilt than me. That's the objective. I gave him the 40 pound and a pair of shoes and he said, no, you can't. You can't. I understand. I'm sorry. My shoes were stolen. I said, no, please, you're breaking our hearts. Please, you know, it's the whole community. We feel, and he's all right. And off he went, feeling guilty about taking the money. Choranam, you know, when a shoe thief is caught in India, you don't want to be there. You don't want to, the lati, you know, the policemen, they have a big, because they're so difficult to catch. So choranam, the people who live on the margins, the people who are born after everybody else, if they're not thieves, then they're tolerable. The cleverest thieves, isn't it? They say, ati bhakti charora, chora lakshan. That devotion is the... A lot of devotion is the sign of a thief. Too much devotion. You see somebody getting too Prabhu, Hare Krishna. You know, I'll cool down, you know. Let's just be normal, okay? Hare Krishna, may I join your temple? Really, you know, just... Can I have all the keys for the doors? I'm doing the cleaning. So, we will be careful about that. Choro. So if they're not a chore, if they're not a chore, they are tolerable. Also, a papanam means that if they are not sinful people, if they don't go killing people, if they don't rape people, if they don't do all the sinful things, Prabhupada mentions. It's interesting because Prabhupada mentions the regulative principles. But then again, he says these people are dog eaters. And he also says that they're allowed to break all these things. That's something perhaps also appears like a contradiction in the text. But the point is that if they're not thieves and they're not sinful people, then they're tolerable within this civilized type of society. Yeah? Now, that's with regards to this verse. This verse speaks about these people who live in the peripheries of society, and with regards, it's just making the point, their dharma is something amongst their families. Tat tat kula krita bhavat. Their dharma is just kula. It's whatever their they have family stuff. It doesn't go into any of the details. There are so many family things they do. They do these things. And they're generally, I think, was it mentioned? Barbers and stuff like that. I think there's like 7 different varieties of what would be considered in these things, and it includes everything from fishermen, postmen, barbers, and stuff like that. So, this whole topic of Varnashram. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is our main theological work, Rupa Goswami was considered by everyone, to be the most authoritative teacher of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale. He understood the inner workings of Mahaprabhu's mind, his heart, and he was empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach everybody else. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami makes the point. He describes all the... He gives the definition of the word Anyabhilasita Sunnam, all these things, right? Characteristics of devotion. And then, later he describes 64 angas, isn't it? He says, Sanatana has spoken of so many of these things. I'm giving the main ones, 64. After he's spoken these 64 angas, he makes a point. Samantam bhakti vijnanam na bhaktyangam na karmanam. He says that samantam bhakti vijnanam, those who are all the learned people in the devotion, samatam bhakti vijnanam, those who are scholars of devotion, na bhaktyangam na karmanam, they say that the karmanam, varnashrama, karmas are not angas of bhakti. Now that's quite daunting. That the varna and ashrams and the related duties with regards to these things, Rupa Goswami rejects as angas of bhakti. That means if these things won't give a person love of God, that's quite daunting. Now, in the commentary to that line, he just speaks a line like that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says, presents an argument. Well, perhaps that's just to emphasize the importance of the angas of devotion above all other activities. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and all these things are all of more importance than the activities of Varnashrama. However, the activities of Varnashrama are still angas of devotion. That's the argument he sets up to obviously speak against. One, the only reason Rupa Goswami said this is to put the angas of devotion above everything else. And two, the Varna and Ashram, they're still angas of devotion anyway. And then, now someone may be thinking, reading that, or maybe we're thinking in our minds, well, they're talking about Varnashram service, which is not the Varnashram service of Lord Vishnu. But then he quotes a verse himself. The Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Param Puman Vishnu Aradate Karyam Nandyat Tat Nandyat Tat Tosha Karanam. He quotes this verse. It's probably from the Vishnu Purana, which states in it that the activities of the varnas and ashrams are the aradhate, Vishnu aradhate, param. These are the highest ways of worshipping Lord Vishnu. These are the highest ways of worshipping Lord Vishnu. Nanyat tad dosha karanam. There's no other way to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Now that certainly contradicts Rupa Goswami's principle. However, he then says, that's why Rupa Goswami states the consensus of Samatam Bhakti Vijnanam, the consensus of those who are knowledgeable of bhakti, not just one rishi. So therefore, Rupa Goswami's statement undermines this statement in expressing that this is just one opinion. Then, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, now, theologically, after Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is an unquestioned authority on Vaishnavism. He then states that this verse about Varnashramacharayata Vatha, this statement is only made to encourage those people who are ineligible, unqualified to perform bhakti. He makes the point. That's the point he makes. Now, that's the commentary to that point by Rupa Goswami, that varnashram karma is not an anga of bhakti. Rupa Goswami, in the next text, quotes the verse, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvedyeta yavata matkata shravanadau va sradayavanna jayate. In this verse, he makes the point that the varnashrama duties, or the things we do in accordance with our varna and ashrama, that these things, this is from Bhagavatam, this verse, later, 11th canto. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyate yavata. Until one has become a detached person. Detached. Unattached. Until one becomes a detached person. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyate yavata. Nirvidyate. Until one becomes detached. Mat kata shradana dau va. And until they have shraddha in mat kata shravana dau, in shravanam kirtanam smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam, until they have faith in these things, they should do their varnashram seva. So this verse from the Bhagavatam presents that those who are eligible for this varnashrama karma dedicated to Lord Vishnu. Right? Like when I'm coming this morning late for class, I was driving my daughter like to drop her for school for the pickup and all those. This is my varnashrama karma. I'm a father, I have to do these things. You're all here chanting in the temple, having Guru Puja, glorifying Prabhupada, and I'm bombing it down the road, complaining to other drivers to get my daughter to school. And she's not quite sure just yet about my whole devotional thing in life. But I have to serve her. I have to iron her school uniform. So many things a grihastha has to do. Well, most of you are here chanting in the temple room. The brahmacharis don't even have to iron their clothes. Most of them don't. And I know it doesn't look good. They just get up, take a bath, and come down to Mangalarti. They don't have to get involved in the war taking place between a mother brushing her daughter's long hair. You're hurting me, the tugs. I have to do it. Stop arguing with each other. And then you walk into the temple to give class. Hare Krishna. This is Varnashram, and I'm thinking I'm doing it for Krishna. I'm driving my daughter for Krishna. I'm trying my best. But this is something separate from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. This is something separate. And that's the point that's being made. So until one is detached and until one has Shraddha in the Angas of Bhakti, you know, when the Angas of Bhakti are spoken of, they're all about dancing, prayers, puja, remembering Krishna, Sankirtan. And then Rupa just brings it right. Durahad, Bhuta, Birya, Smin, Shraddha, Durasti, Panchake. This five. Nam, Kirtan, Bhagavat, Shravan, Mathura, Vas, Sri Murtira, Shraddhaya, Seva. I missed one out. Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan. Sadhu Sangha. Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan. These five, just do these five. These five will awake bhava in you. Very quickly. I'm too busy hiring my daughter's school uniform. I have to do my Varnashram karma. These five. You will get bhava from these five. Very quickly. So, where faith is weak, absent in the Angas of Bhakti, and where one is not detached, then a person is instructed to do their Varnashram karma. Now, there's so much more on this topic, and as usually I think too much for this period of time. But I will refer you to other places to read. The conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Dev. Now actually what I'll do, because I thought it might be a bit unresting, so I thought I would just read Prabhupada on this topic. Some scholars argue that simply following the principles of Varna and Ashram, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing pure devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Rai. So there, Prabhupada speaks about this topic. In the conversation with Ramananda Rai, Ramananda Rai is pushed way beyond Varnashram. That's all considered bhaya, external. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't accept it. He says, progress, progress. Until he comes to serve a dharma, give up all Varnashrama, then Chaitanya Dev's like, now you're on the track. Now you are moving. Then the conversation, another reference point, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Tattvavadis, the followers of Madhva, because the followers of Madhva will convince you otherwise. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in conversing with them, speaks all the same truths. Clearly, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Varnashram activities performed for Vishnu are not considered uncontaminated. They're still considered activities on the material platform. So, these are two places you can read further about this topic. Now, and I'm not going to do this point justice because, well, why? Why involve ourselves with all this stuff? Well, Murari touched on the point yesterday where he raised the point, it's to do with purification. It's to do with purification. And in the Gita, 5th chapter, Yoga Yukta Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya Sarvabhutatma Bhutatma Kurvanapina Lipyate. It says that the karmis, that's people, whether it's Niskam Bhagavad Arpita Niskam Karma Yoga or Karma or just Niskam Karma Yoga, which means detached Varnashram activities. Krishna pushes those in the Gita very strongly. He pushes this in the Gita very strongly. Bhagavad Arpita Niskam Karma Yoga, that's what the Gaudiyas call it. They don't call it Ananna Bhakti, pure devotion, Keval Bhakti. They call it Bhagavad Arpita Niskam Karma. It means you're doing your karma with detachment for God. Yeah? So, Krishna makes the point there that rather than leave everything, which is the Gyan Marg, it's better you do this. And this is not binding. Why? Because Yoga Yukta Vishuddhatma, it's directed towards purification. So it's performed with detachment, and the objective is purification. If you read what you'll attain by Bhagavad Arpita Nishkam Karma Yoga in the Gita, continuously the words are used, Brahmabhuta Brahma Nirvanam. You'll be liberated from material life. It doesn't say anything about you'll attain prema. So, the principle of following social responsibilities is that if one renounces them before purification of heart, that's like taking sannyas before you qualify for sannyas, then it's just a matter of time. It may be 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, bam! And Krishna calls it sannyas dukkham. Dupam aptam ayogata. Aesthetic life, where you neglect all social responsibility, is dukkham aptam. It is difficult and it's not a happy thing. Because when you've renounced all social responsibilities, all engagements in Varnashrama, and you have a desire for someone, for something, where impurity rises, where desire arises, you have no means to deal with it. Every means of dealing it with it is called vantasi. You left it all. Don't come back and eat the vomit. So Krishna really pushes, don't do it. Stick with your responsibilities in life. Be a good devotee. In that sense, that's where he concludes it. So therefore that society will not become debauched. Therefore that we will not renounce these things before we have the due eligibility. Then in that sense, they are pushed. We are encouraged to follow them. But we have to remember clearly that we must move with the balance of our time towards the principal angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat, Kirtanam, these things. The balance of our time must move in that direction until we're fully detached and on our way in a high level of Krishna consciousness. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't really do that last part very much justice. And I wanted to build a stronger argument with reciting to other sources. But there's just not enough time. And I thought also not to, I mean, to sit here and to talk about pratiloma, anuloma, and all these things. And to go in, it's almost going into the detail in the opposite direction of where we should be going. So, Thank you very much for your patience in listening. I'll end there, and if there's any questions or comments, now is the time.